You got your Bible? Those at home got your Bible? Let's hold it up and let's say it together. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind, it's alert. And my heart, it's receptive. I will not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Give God your best praise on Christmas weekend. Amen. But see, you just created a feeling right there, didn't you? You just created a feeling right there. So don't forget that thought. That'll take you places you want to go in Jesus' name. That'll create the family and the marriage that you want to have and the business environment. If you're a business owner, that'll create what you want for your employees to have, the atmosphere and the morale and the momentum. Amen. Just don't forget, you know, like Kim said, on your way out today, we provided for you hot cocoa and cookies. And she said she had one last night and she tasted and saw it was good. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Pastor Kim tasted the cookie and saw it was good. Amen. So on your way out today, you know, it's just a gift from the church to say you're special. We love you. And then the live nativity scene with baby animals are out in the old bookstore with our kids ministry putting that on. Now, don't forget, tomorrow's Monday, right? Isn't that Christmas Eve? We have a Christmas Eve service at 5 o'clock. And we have live adult animals tomorrow night at 5 o'clock, a live nativity scene outside. Then during praise and worship, we're having a candlelight service. We're bringing all those live animals in right here at the front, right in the sanctuary. It's going to be cool. So invite your family, invite your friends, bring them tomorrow night. It's going to be really, really awesome. Don't forget to get your legacy year-end report. Again, giving in the legacy offering. I want you to know that we're a ministry of integrity. We're not perfect, but we're a ministry of integrity. You can see where everything's gone this year. They're on the sides and the back. Also, don't forget to get the Christmas tool kit. It's so important. Traditions are so important, aren't they? They're so important. You know, our family, you've heard me say in my series that Kim, her maiden name is Chadwick. So the Chadwicks, you know, all the times we've been married 45 years, when we go to her family's house every Christmas, before we open presents, they would sing Happy Birthday to Jesus. Because folks, don't forget, it's not about materialism, it's about the birth of Jesus. Jesus is the reason. I know it's an old cliche, but it's the truth. Jesus is the reason for the season, and it is his birthday. So they would sing Happy Birthday. It was a tradition. And you know, we need good traditions. You know, years ago when Kim and I got married 45 years ago, I'd never been married before, and I didn't know how to be married. I didn't know how to be a husband or a father. I didn't know how to do that. So I began to study Dr. James Dobson. Dr. James Dobson. And he said, if you want a strong family, that you build strong traditions. Strong, healthy traditions create stability in a world of change for your children. That strong, healthy, wholesome, good traditions build a stable, solid, steady home environment for your children and your family. I said, that's cool. So at our house, at the Blunt house, you know, raising our kids and everything, every Christmas, before we would open the presents, we would read the Christmas story. Read the Christmas story. Because we wanted our kids to know it was more than, wasn't what was under the tree, it was who hung on the tree. And we want to know it's all about Christmas. It was all about Jesus. And then, you know, we'd go around the room and we'd all share three things we were grateful for and thankful for at Christmas. Traditions. You know, the other day I was listening to Kobe Bryant, who's being interviewed. You know, he's got a new podcast out for children. It's fabulous, by the way. It's amazing. Kobe Bryant did it. Tells stories for kids. And they were interviewing him. And they said, you know, what traditions do you have, Kobe? He said, well, at his house right now with his family, he said, the 4th of July, every 4th of July, we watch the movie Sandlot. And then he said, every Christmas, this is Kobe Bryant, some of his traditions with his family, he said, I gather all the family together and we watch Charlie Brown Christmas. So, you know, it's just, you know, traditions are really, really important. So that's why we got these Christmas toolkits, because you don't just want to sit around Christmas and buffet your body. Amen. You don't want to sit around and watch football. You don't want to sit around, you know, and miss a great opportunity to witness, to share, to bring out the best in your family, your kids, your mate, your husband, mother, father. So that's why we have these Christmas toolkits. Today's the last day to get them. So there they are for you. Amen? Cool? All right. Open your Bible to the Christmas story. Let's look at Matthew chapter 2, the Christmas story. We're going to read the Christmas story today. We'll finish it tomorrow at 5 at our Christmas Eve service. But we're going to look at the Christmas story, and we're going to pull out lessons that you and I can apply to our life. Lessons, applications, practical principles that we can apply to our life to make our life better. Is that okay with everybody? I love the Christmas story, don't you? Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Here we go. Now let the Holy Spirit and the Word talk to you today. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king. Now, make note that Herod the king represents people in our world today who don't want God. They don't want God. And, you know, the latest Pew research says only 2 out of 10 Americans go to church on Sunday. Pew research on the internet said only 2 out of 10 Americans go to church on Sunday in America right now. You see, the world that we live in, they don't want God at school. They don't want God in politics. They don't want God at work. They don't want God, you know, in the family. They just don't want God at all. So Herod represents people in our society who don't want God. So days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Notice it doesn't say 3. It doesn't tell us the number. You know, we say 3 because of the gifts, right? But really, actually, if you look at this closely, there was a whole caravan of them. There were so many in the caravan that they overwhelmed the city. So the wise men, now these wise men were magi, right? Magi, are they magicians, Pastor? No, they were scientists. They were scientists. They were the elite of that day. They were very wealthy, very rich, very successful, very educated, the top of the ladder. And these wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, verse 2, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star." You might want to note star. So here's something very interesting that science and scripture agree. It's when man gets in the middle that we fuddle it all up. They were led by a star. It took them to a scripture that took them to the Son of God. Science and scripture actually do agree. It's when man gets in the middle, we muddy it all up. So where is the King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to do what? Two words, letter W, better to retain. It's a teaching tool. King Herod didn't want him, but the wise men came to worship him. And here's what I know. Wise people are still showing up on Sunday. They're still worshiping him. And Saturday. And every day. Amen. So it goes on to say in verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. And look, the whole city was troubled. Verse 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together. Now, here's the third category of people that we see in the Christmas story. The first is King Herod, and he was a bad, bad, bad man. And he represents people in our world that don't want God, nothing to do with God. They actually curse God. And then secondly, the wise men, they represent people like you and me and those that couldn't be here who are watching online today who want to worship God. But the third category is the scribes and the chief priests, and those represent people in our world today who are religious, and they know scriptures, and they can quote scriptures, And they go to the synagogue, they go to church, but they ignore God. They ignore God. They knew about God. They knew the scriptures. They're going to quote Old Testament scripture in just a moment. They knew the routine. They knew the ritual. They had the religion, but they had no relationship. Nor did they even want to have a relationship. So these represent people in our world today. They're religious. They go to church. They go to the synagogue. They do all of that, but they have no relationship. They ignore God's voice. So it goes on to say, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Verse 5, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is written, notice, written, what are they quoting? Old Testament scripture. For this is written by the prophet, verse 6, here's the quote, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judea, for out of you, this is Old Testament scripture, so a star led them to the scripture, and the scripture led them to the Son of God. And he says, they say here, for out of thee shall come a governor, and he shall rule my people Israel. Verse 7, then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared to them. Verse 8, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. Notice, young child. Because at this time, Jesus, according to history, is about 2 years old. This is not happening in the manger scene. I love manger scenes. Don't anybody write me any emails. I got one in my house, Ella. But it didn't happen in the manger, okay? It was in a house. Jesus was about 2 years old. Why did Herod want to kill all the babies? Two and younger. All right, but manger scenes are cool. We got one outside. We got one in the lobby. I got one at my house. I'd love to have one out in front of the church next Christmas. Amen. All right? So he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, not the babe, but the young child, two and under. And when you found him, bring word to me that I may come and worship him only. Now, who's talking, Herod? He's deceiving here right now, isn't he? He represents right here people in the church, the body of Christ, who come to church and want you to think they're coming to worship God, but they have a hidden agenda. They want to build their upline. They want to build their multi-marketing business. They want to connect with people. They want to find a date. They want whatever. They want to find an investor. They come and they look like they're coming to worship and go through growth track and be a part of the church, but they have a hidden agenda. Now, when you see those people, you have my authority to yell, wolf! Okay, praise God. All right. That I may come and worship him also. Verse 9, and when they had heard the king, they departed, lo, the star which they saw in the east, and went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Next verse, verse 10. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced. Notice they rejoiced. Pastor Kim prayed for joy. She was releasing a spirit, a feeling of joy, because we want that on our campus every time you come. Nursery, children, youth, adults, small groups, growth track, auditorium, everywhere. We want that. Amen. Because Christmas is good news. It's good news. It's good news. So they rejoiced with great joy. Verse 11. And when they were coming to the what? Coming to the what? Doesn't say manger. Doesn't say barn. That's okay if you want to visualize that. It's all right. But they came into the house. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down, worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasure, they presented unto him gifts, three types of gifts. Verse 12. Verse 12 is the big idea. Verse 12 is what I want to communicate to you. Verse 12 is my sermon. Verse 12 is the big thought. Verse 12 is the big idea. You ready? So it says here, and they warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country a different way. I believe everybody in this room, and I believe everybody who couldn't be here who was watching online, next year, 2019, you want a different way. a different road, a different path, a different season, a different chapter, a different marriage, a different home, a different career, a different ministry, a different mindset, a different attitude, a different response, different relationships, different goals. We are ready to move on and move up, right, church? We are ready for that. So I believe all of us, I believe the Christmas story is all about that. When you and I meet the Christ, when we have an encounter, when we get born again, when we become a real Christian, when we give our life to God, we commit our life to God, we take the next step, we go through Growth Track, a church on the rock. When we do that, we're going to leave a different person. We're going to leave a different way. We're going to be on a different level. It's going to be a different season. Now, here's a golden nugget. Here's what I know. Here's what I know for pastoring y'all, the greatest church in America, for 35 years. Here's what I know for being married to the greatest woman on the planet for 45 years. Here's what I know from parenting children and being a grandfather. Here's what I know. Now, here's what I know. Every new season requires new skills. Every new season requires new skills. The skills that I use to date my wife with, I don't use after we've been married 45 years. The skills that I use to plant this church in the library 35 years ago, I do not pastor with those same skills. The skills that I raised my two sons with today, I don't live and work with them in the ministry with the same skills. And a lot of people are disillusioned, unhappy, unsuccessful, frustrated, and empty because they're using the same skills in this season they used 10 seasons ago and wonder why they're not getting results. Am I helping anybody today? So we're all interested in a different way. I want a different way next year. I want a different season for our church, a different season for my marriage, a different path, a different road, a different level, a different revelation, different anointing, different perspective, different responses, different attitude. I want different for you and for me and for our ministry. Now, how do we get that? Pastor, how do we get that? Pastor, I'm stuck. Wow, I got a hold of that revelation, Pastor. I realize that I'm trying to keep my marriage together with the same skills that I use to date my husband or my wife. I'm trying to build my business with the same skills when I started my business. I'm trying to build my ministry with the same skills that I birthed my ministry. Doesn't work. Every new season requires new skills. So for you and I to have a different path, first of all, we've got to meet the Savior. We've got to meet Jesus, right? And when we really meet Him, wow, people won't recognize us. Amen. We'll be different. We'll leave a different way. Now, three things, everyone say three. Three things that the wise men did that I want to share with you. Now, let's just look at it. Let's go back to verse 11. The three things they did. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down. Number one, they fell down. Well, Pastor, does that mean I got to fall down to have a different life, a different marriage, a different ministry, a different parenting skills, different season, different income, different salary? What do I got to do? To fall down means to humble. To bow down means to humble yourself. So number one would be humble. Now, humility is a fruit of the Spirit, but humility is a skill. We're not born humble. Humility is a skill set. We're not born humble. And look with me. We're going to come back here. So let's remember this verse, guys. Psalm 138. Let's look at it. Psalm 138, verse 6. Now, humility is not weakness. It's not being a doormat. Right, church? Humility is strength under control. Humility is being teachable and correctable and adjustable. One of my mentors, Roy Hicks, told me years ago, over 25 years ago, he said, Dave, if your marriage is going to last and your ministry is going to last and your walk with God's going to last, you have to do two things every day, repair and adjust. He said, if your marriage and your ministry and your walk with God is going to make it to the end, you're going to finish your race, then you're going to have to every day repair and adjust. Be adjustable. One of the marks of great character is flexibility. If I'm not flexible and I get all upset when things change, I lack character. I got to work on it. So it's important then that we understand to be humble. They bowed down. They humbled themselves. And we could spend a whole series on humility. But let me give you a new definition of humility. A new definition of humility. You ready for it? Be hungry. Humility is being a lifelong learner. Someone said, when I stop learning, I stop leading. When I stop learning, I stop leading. When I stop growing, I stop being fulfilled. So humility is being teachable, adaptable, adjustable, correctable. It's being a lifelong learner. But I want to submit to you this weekend a new definition. To be humble is to be hungry. Is to be hungry. Now, you and I, we want to be hungry, stay hungry, and get hungrier. Come on, somebody. Here's what I know. Being with people, I'm in the people business, and being in the ministry for 40 years, some people are hungry until they get comfortable, and then they lose their hunger. Drop out of church, don't read their Bible, don't pay their tithe, don't give in legacy. I had to get that in there. They stop serving. They say, I'm just burnt out. I'm just, what are they saying? They're saying, I'm comfortable, so I stop being hungry. When you stop being hungry, you lose your drive. I'm burnt out. It's because you've stopped being hungry. I'm tired of working at church. I'm tired of serving God. I'm tired of going through the motions. I'm tired of my life. I have no zip. I have no drive. I have no ambition. It's because you're not hungry anymore. The Bible says, blessed, this is the beatitude, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Here's what I know. Most Christians, but you are not most. Most Christians get comfortable and they lose their hunger. Oh, they were sitting in the first three rows for a while, and then later on they're in the back three, and then later on they're in the back, then later on they're late for church, then later on it's once a week, then later on it's once a month because they got comfortable. What happened at the beginning? They were hungry. Couldn't stay away from church. Couldn't stay out of the Word. Couldn't stop serving. What happened? I got busy. No, you stop being hungry. Because when we're hungry, and see, I'm talking to the choir, you're hungry. Amen. Or you wouldn't be here today. But I'm just solidifying what you're doing is right on. Because the older you get, the more mature you get, the longer you walk with God, you should want to serve more, give more, do more, be more, dream bigger. The path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. Now look at me at 65. Most preachers are retiring, but I feel like I'm just firing up. I mean that. You can ask my wife. This morning, I'm up at 4:30. No alarm clock. I've been getting up at 4:30. Now, yesterday morning, I slept in, but this God's been getting me up. You see me talking about dreams and expanding and moving forward and enlarging. With most pastors at 65, they're retired, living in Florida someplace. And you can ask my wife and my family, I'm more on fire, I'm working harder, I'm more committed, I'm more dedicated at 65 than when I started this church at 30. Now how can you do that? Because I'm hungry. Now, when you lose your hunger, you lose your drive. How do you get your hunger back? Come tomorrow night at 5 o'clock, Christmas Eve. Same bat channel, same bat time, same bat message. How many remember those? That was Batman back in the 60s. That's when Batman was cool. Zam! Bat! Wow! Y'all remember that? For though the Lord is high, yet he has respect to the humble. Now, every translation I give you in every service is for a reason. I have a Bible in my library that has 26 translations in one volume. I give you these translations because I always want you to see a particular word. And I chose the Amplified because I want you to see, what does God do with the humble? He brings them into fellowship with him. If I want to get closer to God, I want to work on the skill and fruit of being humble. And being humble is not being a know-it-all, it's being hungry to learn more and grow more. And if I've lost my drive, it's because I'm no longer hungry. If church is boring, youth group is boring, if serving is boring, it's because I've lost my drive because I'm no longer hungry for the things of God. Now, how do you get hungry? I'm just going to throw it out to you. I don't have time to amplify it. But you get hungry by hanging around better. That's it. Hanging around people that dream bigger than you dream. Hanging around people that are doing more than you're doing. Hanging around people with better habits, better attitudes, better character, better results, better business, better ministry. Better, better, better. You see, better shouldn't make you envy. Better should make you better. Amen. Don't have time for that. Number two, the second thing, let's go back real quick as the team comes out. In Matthew 2, verse 11, because we all want different, right, church? We want different. We want to leave a different way. We want a different path, a different road, a different season. Every new season, you got to have new skills for that season. So look what he says. When they were come to him, number one, what did they do? They bowed down. Number two, what did they do? They worshiped him. Everybody say they worshiped him. By the way, I sure do love you. I thank God for you. Amen. Next year is going to be better. Amen. For you. It's going to be better. Yeah. We're going to do that 21 days of prayer and fasting in January. We're going to set ourselves up for success. But the second thing they did to leave different was they worshiped him. Oh, Pastor, you're going to tell me to be on time for worship. Well, you should be already. Pastor, you're going to tell us to, you know, turn on the praise music at home and do more praise at home. Well, you should. And I should. Well, you're going to tell us to get rid of that country music and rock and roll and rap and get rid of all that off my radio in my car and put on praise music. Well, that's cool. That's great. That's awesome. Amen. But I'm not talking about any of that. Here's what I want to extract and bring before you. The worship here is a high level of worship. Amen. What do you mean? They were worshiping a baby. I don't understand, Pastor. They were worshiping a baby. Pastor, come on, make it clear. I still don't get it. He was two and under. They were worshiping a baby. What does that mean? They were worshiping him for who he was and not for what he could do for them. He couldn't do anything for them. He couldn't do anything for them. They're the elite. They're scientists. They're the magi. They're wealthy. They're rich. They got a caravan of stuff and gifts, and they're worshiping a baby. The baby couldn't do diddly squat for them. It's when you and I come to church to serve and not to get. That's real worship. It's when you and I give not to get. That's real worship. It's when you and I just say, God, no matter what it looks like, no matter how long the season, I can't see anything outwardly that you are even working. God, if you don't do another thing for me, I'll be faithful, dedicated, devoted, and I'm going to worship you for who you are and not the toys that you give me. Come on, somebody. And I want to be more like that. And when we our worship turns into worshiping him for who he is, if he doesn't do another thing, I'm still going to be a worshiper. When that happens, guess what? We're setting ourselves up for a different way.